I have two questions for you this morning. Everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic. All right, that's good. That's good. Question number one, think about this for just a moment. You got your thinking cap on too? Could our God, the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, could our God be any better? The answer, obviously, is no. Since our God is perfect and is sinless, the answer to that question is an emphatic no. Our God cannot be any better. Question number two, you ready for this? You say, preacher, I've got 100% so far. Well, good. So, is the Lord worthy of our glorifying or honoring or praising or worshiping him? So if God could not be any better, question number two, is he worthy of us glorifying his name, of us honoring him, praising him, and worshiping him? What do you think? On the count of three, you shout out the answer. One, two, three. Okay. Yes. 1,000 times over, the answer is yes. Since our God could not be any better, we should praise his name every single day of our life. Y'all agree with that? Say amen. Amen. You know, a lot of times when someone does something special for us, maybe it's a server at a restaurant and she's an exceptional or he is an exceptional server, goes above and beyond. You ask for two packets of butter, they bring you four. You know, that type of person, and they kind of read your brain and keep your glass filled up. Or maybe some mechanic that's worked on your car that did a above and beyond job. Store clerks who go out of their way to help you find a certain product or to give their advice on something. Maybe even whenever you deal with someone on the phone and they say a survey. You want to brag on these people, don't you? I mean, really, if they've done a good job. I know fairly recently someone, a store clerk in one of the stores, worked in some paint for us and did a really good job and was real friendly and professional about it. And before I left, I went to the service desk, and they always get a little bit nervous. I said, I want to see a manager. I just said, I'd like to talk to a manager, please. And then normally when you see this worried look come over the face of the person you're asking to talk, get the manager, I say, oh, I want to brag on somebody. This is good or something. And we said, hey, they did a good job. They did a good job. They was pleasant. They kind. They were helpful. So if we want to brag on people like that, or praise them in a sense, if you will, shouldn't we praise our God? Shouldn't we uplift him? Shouldn't we glorify his name? Today we're going to be looking in Philippians chapter 4. Probably, I'm not for positive, but probably the last message out of the book of Philippians proper. We've gone through all four chapters of the book of Philippians, verse by verse, and preached much of it, emphasized certain parts of it more than others, I suppose, but we're down to the last little bit. Title of the message today is Glorifying the Lord. Glorifying the Lord. So we're going to be reading Philippians chapter 4, verses 20 to 23. So if you would follow along. It says in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 20. It says, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Did you catch that? Now unto God, what God? Our God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. Verse 21, salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Salute every saint in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that the book of Philippians was written to the saints in Philippi or at the Philippian church? Philippians chapter 1 and verse 1 says, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi with the bishops and deacons. So he's winding it down, verses 21 to 23. He says, salute every saint, or greet them, if you would. Then he goes on in verse 21, says, the brethren which are with me greet you. Now, the brethren, he's probably speaking of the brethren that are helping him in particular. Do you remember where Paul was? He was under house arrest in Rome. So he had some helpers or assistants that were being a blessing and ministering to him. And he says, they greet you. Verse 22, all the saints salute you. Now, that's probably speaking of all the Christians that are in the Roman church at that time, the church at Rome. And then he says something pretty interesting. He says, chiefly, they that are of Caesar's household. Do you realize that because of where Paul was under house arrest in Rome, he had the opportunity to witness to the guards that guarded him around the clock? Do you realize that he had opportunity for them to go and then minister? Maybe there were servants that were around that Paul was able to minister to. But as a result of that, Paul could have sat around and just pouted about it. But instead of that, he said, you know what? I'm going to witness for the Lord. And he says, all the saints. Now, a saint is someone who has trusted the Lord as Savior, someone who is set apart. And then he says, chiefly, they are of Caesar's household. So can I tell you that Paul led a lot of the people that were part of the palace to the Lord? Isn't that a blessing? He looked at it as an opportunity. Perhaps soldiers, perhaps servants, perhaps relatives of Caesar's household. He had the opportunity to tell them about Jesus. You know, he looked at his imprisonment in a certain way. Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, he says, but I would ye should understand, brethren, that the things which have happened to me have fallen out rather to the furtherance of the gospel. Furtherance of the gospel. So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places. So Paul didn't sit around and say, woe is me, I'm under house arrest for the Lord. He said, you know what? This is furthering the gospel. I'm able to share the gospel in the palace. Do you think there might be a lesson in there for us? That whatever we might be going through, it may be an opportunity to further the gospel, to share the gospel with other people. Lastly, in verse 23, it says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Aren't you thankful for the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ? This was a typical way to end the letter, but it says, the grace or the unmerited favor of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. And then he adds an amen to that, or so be it. But the verse I really want to emphasize today, I wanted to cover verses 21 to 23 as we just did, but the verse I really want to emphasize today is verse 20. As it pops back up on the screen again, I want you to say that with me. Would you repeat that with me as I say that verse? Now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. We're going to look at glorifying the Lord from that one verse and from the book of Philippians. Now, first of all, point number one, what does it mean to glorify the Lord? What does it mean to glorify the Lord? You see, that word glory is doxa in the Greek. It happens 163 times in the New Testament. Would you say that's quite a bit? 163 times that word glory in the Greek is in the New Testament. You see, glory in this verse, when it says, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever, ever, amen. The glory in this verse speaks of honor, speaks of praise, speaks of worship that we should have for the Lord because of his true glory. How many of you would say he has a lot of glory of his own? He is awesome, he is majestic, he is magnificent. And because of who God is, we should glorify the Lord, or honor, praise, and worship the Lord. You remember that little chorus, my God is so great, so strong, and so mighty, there's nothing my God cannot do? You ever sung that little chorus? You know, as a result of our God being so great and being so strong and so mighty, we should really want to honor him. We should really want to praise him, and we should really want to worship him. Glorifying the Lord. Number one, what does it mean to glorify the Lord? It means to honor Him or praise Him or worship Him. Point number two, when should we glorify the Lord? Everybody awake, alert, and enthusiastic. When should we glorify the Lord? Now, if you look at that verse, you'll see when. What's the first word? Now unto God. Now, I realize that it could be like saying, okay, in light of what we've just written to you, Philippian church, in light of that, you should do this. You should glorify the Lord. But I also believe it could mean right now you need to glorify the Lord. You know, one of the problems we have as Christians so many times, putting stuff off. You know, a lot of times we know that we may not be right with God, but we put off getting right with God. We know we should read our Bible, but we keep putting off reading our Bible. We know we should be more faithful to church, but we keep putting off being more faithful to church. I'm thankful that right here it's exhorting us, I believe. It could really be both. In light of what I've written, and now's a great time to start to honor and praise and worship the Lord. You know, you do that when you come to church. You do that with your obedient service to God. You know, you can even do it at your quiet time at the house. You know, when you pull out your Bible, you may be reading through the Bible in a year. As you read your Bible, do you pause just to brag on God? To just glorify His name? To just say, Lord, I thank You, I praise You, I worship You. Maybe you say, not just for what you do, but for who You are. You see, now is the time. Have you ever heard as a kid from your parents? And some of you got to think way back, about the time of the dinosaurs. No, I'm just kidding. But some of you got to think way back. But do you remember when your mom and dad might have said something like this? All right, son, I want you to do this. And then he sees that you're not doing it. And he says, I mean now. You ever had that rebuke? You ever had a parent say that to you? Now, you got to keep in mind, my dad was really strict. I probably would have already jumped and done it. He probably didn't have to say now very often. But sometimes we're hard-headed and we don't do. Maybe as a parent, you've used that with your kids. You say, now, I want you to clean up your room. And they just keep on doing what they're doing. I mean, now. I think it's important that we start praising the Lord and glorifying the Lord and giving Him the honor and giving Him the credit that we should give Him. And when it ought to start today. You know, when we sing these songs, it's not by accident. I mean, why do we sing? Because we're praising and glorifying God. I mean, in our prayers, we can praise and honor and glorify God, right? And thank Him for who He is and what He does. In our quiet time at home, again, I encourage you. If it's all about what we want God to give you, I think your prayer life ought to change just a little bit. Still add that in there, what you need from God, but still pause. And start today saying, Lord, I want to glorify You. Lord, I want to thank You. Lord, I want to honor You. We're talking about glorifying the Lord. What does it mean to glorify the Lord? It means to honor Him, to praise Him, to worship Him. Number two, when should we glorify the Lord? Now. Starting now, if you've not been, but continuing now, if you have been. Does that make sense? Point number three. Who should we glorify? Who should we glorify? I am forever amazed at how rich the Word of God is. You know, I watch a lot of Westerns, and a lot of times people find a mine, M-I-N-E, and sometimes it's a gold mine, and they go, you know, they kind of measure it by, boy, it's a rich strike. You know, we got all kind of gold nuggets. You know, the Word of God is a lot like that. You know, if you just take time and look at the Word of God, how rich the Word of God is. Even this one verse, it says, now unto what? Now unto God and our Father. Who should we glorify? Well, unto God and our Father is who we should glorify. What exactly does that mean? You know, God is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. You know, the Trinity, they're all God, right? So you got God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. So it says we are to glorify God and our Father in particular. I guess the Father is emphasized here. And I looked at a number of places where it talks about glorifying. It mentions the Son also. It mentions the Father. It mentions God. It mentions the Lord in general. So our glory and our praise ought to be directed to the God of this Bible. Our praise and our worship and our glory and our honor should be directed to our God. It says, now unto God and our Father. You know, this is what's been termed Super Bowl Sunday. Super Bowl Sunday. And I often think about this, how many hours have been spent talking about this one game? I mean, it's amazing. How much money has been spent on this one football game? Now, I enjoy football, so I don't think football in its right perspective is an evil or a sinful thing, but it probably really is sinful, all of the time and resources that have been put into this one game. And many of those hours and hours of talk have been glorifying some of the stars on the team. Maybe someone who's a Seahawk, a Seattle Seahawk, or a New England Patriot, or glorifying the team overall. And they may be good players and they may be good teams, but only the Lord truly deserves our highest glory and praise. If you agree with that, say amen. By the way, how many of you hope to watch the Super Bowl this afternoon? Oh, overwhelming numbers. I think I saw two hands that said, probably Abby will watch a little bit of it, perhaps. I'll probably watch a little bit. So we're up to four. So I don't even need to ask who's a Seahawk fan and who's a Patriot fan. But I will say once again that the only one that truly deserves our praise and honor and glory is the God of the Bible. Amen. Glorifying the Lord. Number one, what does it mean to glorify the Lord? It means to honor Him, to praise Him, or to worship Him. Secondly, when should we glorify the Lord? Now. Number three, who should we glorify? Our God. Number four, how do we glorify the Lord? Now, this is big. How do we glorify the Lord? It says, verse 20, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. Amen. So how do we glorify the Lord? How do we honor Him? How do we praise Him? How do we worship Him? Well, there's lots of ways. There's lots of ways. In those 163 times that word occurs, there's many ways that we can bring glory to God. But what about in the book of Philippians? Does it say anything else about glory in the book of Philippians? Well, it does. If you want to turn back in your Bible to Philippians chapter 1, Philippians chapter 1, this same word is used in Philippians chapter 1, verses 9, 10, and 11. Notice what it says. It says in verse 9, Paul writing to the Philippian church. We're going to hit these pretty quick. But actually, in the book of Philippians, what does it say that will glorify God? It says, verse 9, and this I pray, Paul writes to the churches, what I'm praying for you people of the church at Philippi, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. Notice this, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ. Now here it is, unto the glory and praise of God. So he's saying, Philippian church, I'm praying these things for you so that will in turn bring praise and honor and glory, same word, it's found in Philippians chapter 4, glory unto the Lord. Well, so what are those things? I'm not going to take long, But I'm just going to hit them real quick. What are those things, or how can we bring glory to God according to the book of Philippians? First of all, it says that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Now, doesn't that make sense? That the more love we show, the more we glorify God. Doesn't it make sense? Because Jesus, when he was asked, what are the most important commandments of you that you have, Jesus? Remember what he said? Number one, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second is like it, love your neighbor as yourself. So one way we glorify God is by loving him supremely. And by loving people. I pray that quite a bit. I really do. Lord, help me to love you more and help me to love people more. So you want to bring glory to God? According to the book of Philippians, one way to do that is by loving God and people more. And it says in knowledge and in all judgment, in discernment and with a sense of knowledge. And the more you know God, the more you'll love him, right? So the way, according to this passage, you can bring glory to God's love, the Lord. Let your love abound, not just a wee little bit, yet more and more. Secondly, if you read on, it says that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment. Here it is, that ye may approve things that are excellent. Approve things that are excellent. You want to bring glory to God? One way you do that is by choosing the best things. Really? We talked about in Sunday school today about choices that we have. We have a lot of choices to make. And a lot of times those choices and decisions that we make are not good decisions. But you know, one way that we can glorify God and praise God and worship God with our lives is by making the best decisions that we can. The best decision. Prove those things that are excellent, the things that God wants us to do, not just settle. You know how many Christians just settle for the middle of the pack? I mean, it's kind of like, I don't advocate horse racing, but it's kind of like a horse race, and as long as you finish somewhere in the middle of the pack, that's okay with me. That's not acceptable. Really, it's not. In our service to God, we ought to strive to be right in front. Not so we can bring glory to self, but so we can bring glory to him. And part of that is by making excellent decisions, choosing that which is excellent. Does that make sense? We settle too many times for the low road, for the easy road, for the sinful road. But a second way, according to this passage, that we bring glory to God is by choosing or approving the best things, excellent things. Thirdly, it goes on and says, and that ye may be sincere. Sincere. Do you know what the idea of that is? One way we bring glory to God, according to this passage, is be genuine. Be genuine. You know, I'm afraid that too many times we're one way at church and we're quite another way whenever we're with family or at work or at school or in the neighborhood or wherever we may be. It's important. One way we bring glory to God is by living a consistent, genuine lifestyle before God. You know, the world is looking. The world is looking for someone who is genuine. And we have our struggles. We're not perfect. But it ought not be night and day, Dr. Jekyll and Dr. Hyde, in your life when you're at church or when you're somewhere else. It tells us if we want to bring glory to God, we need to love God and love others, right? It goes on and says, you know what? We need to choose the excellent things. And then it says if we want to please God and praise God and honor God and worship God and glorify God, we need to be sincere, genuine in what we believe. And if the two aren't lining up, guess what? You need to spend some time with the Lord and say, Lord, help my life to line up with what I pretend to be on Sunday morning. The next way We looked at love. We looked at choosing the excellent thing. We talked about being genuine. Then it goes on and it says, and without offense till the day of Christ. Without offense until the day of Christ. You know, one way we bring glory to God is by being consistent in our walk with God and not getting all upset about something and throwing the towel in. You know, I am so sick of Christians who throw the towel in. Aren't you? I mean, the least little thing. And I'm quitting on God. He let that happen. I prayed about that, and it happened anyway, so I'm just throwing in the towel. Someone didn't shake my hand at church the way I thought they should, so I'm throwing in the towel. You know, that what God wants of us, and one way we glorify God is by not being offended for the cause of Christ. We just need to keep on serving the Lord. Some people have got their nose all bent out of shape because somebody, a lost person, has said something mean to them. Well, I just think I'll just pretend. I'll just become an undercover Christian. I tell you what, there is no such thing as an obedient undercover Christian. Because we're told to do anything but keep it under wraps. You see, another way that we can glorify the Lord, according to this passage in Philippians, according to this book of Philippians, how do we bring glory to God? Is by being not offended, but by being faithful and consistent in our walk with God. You know what? I'm just goofy enough. I'm just goofy enough to say, you know what? I'm just going to keep on doing whatever God wants me to do. I'm going to keep on doing what I know to do is right. I'm not going to let anybody offend me or get me out of the cause of Christ. You know, there's yahoos out there. There's mean people out there. There's all kind of people out there. But I've made up my mind. I'm going to resolve that I'm not going to be offended for the cause of Christ until the Lord comes back or takes me home, one or the other. You see, that brings glory to God. And the last thing that's mentioned here, it says in verse 11, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, there again, unto the glory and praise of God. Not only by loving God and people more do we glorify the Lord, not only by choosing the excellent things or the best things in life, serving Him, do we bring honor and praise and glory to Him, not only by being genuine or sincere in our walk with God do we please God and praise God and worship and honor God without taking offense. I'm just going to keep on doing what God wants me to do. But lastly, that we would be filled with the fruits of righteousness. You know, people ought to be able to look at our lives and not see perfection, but they should see holiness. Let me say that again. When people look at our lives, they'll not see perfection, but they should see holiness and righteousness. They should see something different about us. See, that's part of the reason that we're way behind, it seems like, in the cause of Christ in the world. It's because when they look at us, they don't see a difference. They don't see fruits of righteousness. And you say, what are those fruits of righteousness? It's the fruit of the Spirit mentioned in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and 23. It's love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. See, if we want to glorify God, we'll do our best to bear the fruits of righteousness. We're looking at point number four, how do we glorify the Lord? According to the book of Philippians, we love God and others more. That we choose the things that are excellent or the best things. We live a genuine Christian life. We live without offense and don't let anybody make us quit. And we bear the fruits of righteousness, the fruit of the Spirit. There's one more passage I'd like to turn to in Philippians. Out of this book of Philippians, how do we bring glory to God? We'll look at Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Philippians chapter 2, verses 8 to 11. Notice what it says. It says, and being found in fashion as a man, he, that's Jesus, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, that's Jesus, given him a name which is above every name. Notice this, verse 10. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Then notice the last phrase, to the glory of God the Father. So here's that same word, glory. And it tells us another way that we can bring praise and honor and glory and worship to God is to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You see, when we trust Jesus as our Savior, we are truly born again. You agree? And in a sense, we're giving up control of our life just by that very decision. Because the Bible says we're no longer our own, but we've been bought with a price. But sometimes it takes a while for reality to catch up with that decision. And we make the Lord as truly the Lord of our life. Does that make sense? I mean, people can be saved, and in a sense, they're claiming the Lord as their Lord. But through maturity, we ought to get to the point that we say, you know, the Lord is on my throne of my life. The Lord is who I'm going to listen to. The Lord is my leader. By that very word, Lord, that means He's in charge. You know, this speaks of the whole, everybody. I say of this verse, you can pay me now or you can pay me later. This means that sometime in the future, every knee is going to confess and every knee is going to bow that Jesus is Lord. But for them, it's too late. But you know, for you and I that know Jesus as Savior, it's not too late to, in a very practical way, make Him the Lord of your life. I mean, some of us have been calling every shot in our life. I mean, we know what's best. We're going to do it this way because that's what I want. But when you give your heart and life to Jesus, it ought to be, Lord, I want your way. I want you to be the commander, the Lord of my life. And if you notice that phrase there at the end, I'll say it again. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. So when we make the decision to in a really practical way, let the Lord lead my life, let the Lord Jesus be the commander of my life, we are bringing praise and glory and honor to the Lord. You see some real practical ways from the book of Philippians how we can glorify the Lord. Glorifying the Lord, what does it mean to glorify the Lord? It means to give Him honor, praise, and worship. When should we glorify the Lord? Now. Who should we glorify? The Lord. From the book of Philippians, how do we glorify the Lord? Well, we looked at that by loving God and people more, by choosing the things that are excellent, by being genuine and sincere in our walk with God, being without offense but keep on doing what God wants us to do, by bearing the fruits of righteousness, and by making the Lord of our life in practical ways every day. Single day. Number five. There's only six. I'm almost done. Number five. How long will we glorify the Lord? How long will we glorify the Lord? Well, notice what it says in the verse. Now, again, it's just like mining a gold mine. Really, just look at what it says. It says, now unto God and our Father be glory forever and ever. How long will we glorify the Lord? Forever and ever. It's interesting. Have you ever thought about that in the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 13? Matthew chapter 6, verse, you know, it's really the model prayer, but they call it the Lord's Prayer. It says, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Here it is. For thine is the kingdom and the power, there's that word, and the what? Glory forever. Amen. You see, even in the Lord's model prayer that He gave to us, He reminded us that we're going to glorify the Lord forever. 16 times I found in the New Testament, 16 times it speaks of glorifying the Lord forever. 16 times. And do you know in heaven we're going to glorify the Lord forever? In heaven. In heaven, we will speak these words in praise to the Lord. Notice in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 13. Revelation chapter 5 and verse 13. It says, and every creature which is in heaven, guess what? We're a creature in heaven. And on earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, what? John, as he got the revelation, what did he hear saying? Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne. You see, throughout all the eons of eternity, we're going to be praising God, lifting up his name, glorifying his name with words like this. Revelation chapter 7 and verse 12, also set in heaven. Notice what it says. Saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and power and might be unto our God. How long? Forever and ever, amen. In Revelation 19 and verse 1, notice, it says, and after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, again, in the context of heaven, what were they saying? Alleluia, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. You see, how long will we glorify the Lord? Forever and ever and ever. Yeah, a lot of people say, well, preacher, what are we going to do in heaven? Well, we're going to have all good days. Everything's going to be great. We're not going to have any depressed thoughts. We're not going to have mean people say anything to us. We're not going to have anything that ever bothers us. And I know one thing we're going to be doing. Glorifying and praising the Lord. And a lot of people say, well, if we're going to glorify the Lord throughout all the eons of time, why not get pretty good at it while we're here? What do you think? How long will we glorify the Lord forever and ever? I don't know. Have you ever used your phone and started timing something? And you forget that you started timing something. And then a few days later, you look at it, and there's like how many hours have gone by. Like, oh, and you reset it. You know, one thing about heaven, you don't have to worry about keeping track of time at all. I'm glad I get rid of this watch, get rid of my phone, get rid of the clocks on the wall, because we're going to be there forever. We can just sit back and relax, in a sense, worship the Lord, praise the Lord, bring glory to the Lord, and just have a grand old time. If you're not on your way to heaven, I'd highly recommend it. Last point. How strongly do you feel about glorifying the Lord? How strongly? In this verse, this gold mine that we're looking at, now unto God and our Father be what? Glory. Forever and ever. And then it says, amen. Do you know what amen means? So be it. It's kind of like a stamp on something. It's a, you know, like a stamp, a receive stamp or an outgoing stamp or something you put on a document. It's kind of like, so be it. I'm for it. How excited are you? How much do you want to affirm that our God deserves all the glory forever and ever and ever? And I believe as Paul wrote this to the Philippian church, if you'll notice, there's another amen at the end of verse 23, but this is all the way back up in verse 20. It's not like amen, see you later. It's like, I believe this so strongly, so be it, that our God will receive glory forever and ever and ever. Isn't that good? How strongly do you feel about that? How strongly do you feel about that? This morning, glorifying the Lord. Number one, what does it mean to glorify the Lord? It means to give him honor, praise, and worship. Secondly, when should we glorify the Lord? Now. Now and from now on, let's say. Third, who should we glorify? The Lord. Number four from the book of Philippians, how do we glorify the Lord? Abounding in love, doing the best things or the excellent things, being genuine in your walk with God, being without offense, without taking offense to things, but saying, I'm just going to keep on serving the Lord. I'm just going to keep on. Bearing lots of fruit for the Lord and living as if the Lord Jesus really is the Lord of your life. Number five, how long will we glorify the Lord? Forever. How strongly do you feel about glorifying the Lord? If you feel strongly about that, say a hearty amen.
Amen.
You know, as we started, God cannot be any better. God cannot be any better. Praise the Lord. We can be a whole lot better. And this is one area that we can be a whole lot better. If our God needs no improvement, if He is perfect, if He is the best God in the universe, and He is the only God, and the best God, and the perfect God, and a God that never needs improvement, don't you think He's worthy of our glory and praise? Where does glorifying the Lord fit into your life? Are you doing the things that Philippians says to do? Are you spending time when you even talk to God and brag on Him and praise Him and worship Him and give all the glory to the Lord? If you would bow your head and close your eyes for just a moment. Let me ask you. We know that God needs no improvement, but do you need improvement in the area of glorifying the Lord with your life and even with your lips? If you need improvement in that area and you could do a better job of glorifying the Lord, would you take just a moment as your head is bowed and eyes are closed to talk to the Lord about it? Maybe you could start your prayer, but Lord, forgive me for not glorifying You the way I should. But Lord, help me to do a better job with my life to bring glory to You and with my lips to bring glory to You. And even in my quiet time, to thank You the way I should and to praise You and to brag on You. I'm too busy talking about everything I need. But help me, Lord, to pause and to glorify You. Would you take a moment and talk to the Lord about that? Lastly, if you're here today, as every head is bowed and every eye is closed, or you're listening into our live stream, and you're lost, you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you've never been born again as the Bible says, can I encourage you? Can I encourage you? Do you really want to get to know this God who is a perfect God through His Son Jesus? You can do that today. By being saved, by trusting Jesus as your Savior, wherever you are today, whether you're here or whether you're at home, you can call out to God right now and you say, God, I'm a sinner. I've done things against You. Would You please forgive me of my sins? And if you mean it from your heart, you can say that and He'll forgive you. And if you mean it from your heart, you can say then to be saved. You can say, Lord, I believe Jesus was Your Son who died upon that cross to pay for my sins and resurrected back to life. And then you can say and mean it from your heart. Meaning it from your heart is what's important. I now confess Jesus as my Savior. Wherever you are, if you prayed that prayer, meant that from your heart, you just trusted the Lord Jesus. You just become a Christian. You just got saved. Can I tell you, we serve an awesome God. Dear Heavenly Father, we praise You and thank You for this short verse found in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 20. What a gold mine it was and it is. Lord, I pray that You'll help us to do a better job of glorifying Your name. Lord, as we said several times, not only with our lifestyle, but also with our lips, we pray. And Lord, if there's anyone here today that feels a need to come to the altar for whatever reason, I pray, Lord, that they'll do so as we sing this song in a moment. If there's anyone here that's never trusted Jesus as their Savior, but they maybe have questions or if they want to trust the Lord, talk to the preacher. I pray that they'll come down. I'll be somewhere down front and come up to me and say, "Preacher, I want to trust Jesus," or "I just trusted Jesus as my Savior," whatever the case may be. Lord, I pray that you'll give them the boldness to do that. Take control of the invitation. We thank you that you are a God who needs no improvement. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.